Moving along, we have House Bill 1199 entitled An Act to Adjust the Salary Schedule for County Officials.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning again.
And committee members. You're my favorite committee.
Oh, good.
You're my only committee I've had to testify. So you're my favorite. Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Julie Bartling from District 25, and House Bill 1199 is a bill which would adjust the salary schedule for the county officials, and by the salary schedule, we're meaning the base salaries at which the officials may be paid. They can be given any kind of increase by the county commissioners at the discretion of the board. They just cannot make lower than the schedules as you see in your bill. It has been 10 years since the base schedule has been adjusted. It was 1991 when this legislative body, or the one at that time, raised the base salaries. And so we feel it is time to bring that up to a little bit more to the economic times, the cost of inflation, et cetera. And as you can see, the bill is broken into two parts for what would bring the base up as of January 1, 2002, and in Section 3, that schedule would take into effect in 2003. There was an addition to the bill, an amendment over on the House side, which added Section 5, and Representative Bill Peterson assisted with this amendment to the bill, which actually set a minimum salary schedule for counties who may choose to combine the elected officials in their county if they see fit that is something they need to do. And so we graciously accepted Representative Peterson's amendment to the bill, feeling that it did fall right into in line with the rest of House Bill 1199. And with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Rich Satgas, the Executive Director for the Officials Association, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Rich Satgas, registered lobbyist for Association of County Officials. And I'd like to thank Representative Bartling for helping us bring this legislation, and we agree with her testimony. I would like to start, Madam Chair, if I may. There was a recommendation for an amendment by Representative Peterson on the House floor, and he had asked that we bring this amendment to this committee at this time, and if I may hand this amendment out. This amendment, if I may, Madam Chair, or does that need to be moved, or?
The motion has been made and seconded to accept Amendment 1199FB. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, this amendment, there were some questions raised on the House floor because in statute under 6-15-1, there is a statute that states that the legislature shall not pass any unfunded mandates. Section 6-15-2 has six exceptions to this, and I just would like to give a little history about this, the unfunded mandate law. The legislature passed this back in 1993, although the legislature had taken into its discretion and under its jurisdiction the ability to adjust salary schedules prior to that. I believe the early 1900s, according to my research, the early 1900s is when the legislature first involved itself really with setting some type of salary schedule, and then during the 70s they changed it from setting maximum salary schedules to actually setting the salary, and then in the early 1980s the legislature set minimum salary schedules. And ever since that time, we've been readjusting those. And since 1991 was the last time that we've adjusted the minimum salary schedules for county officials. And so primarily what this amendment does is just exclude the salary set in statute from the unfunded mandate law. I would like to address the bill both in its original printed version and then also in the amended version that Representative Peterson helped us with. The first part that I'd like to address is that I think oftentimes the legislature asks itself why they're involved in the salary negotiations or salary schedules of county officials. And I think there's probably two primary reasons that that we would say that the legislature has taken that into effect. First of all, nationwide legislatures do this as well. And South Dakota, as I stated earlier, in the early 1900s, found themselves that they would also take on this responsibility. And I think the reason why is that if you take a look in Chapter 7, I have of the title code, the legislature has pretty much written the job descriptions of what the county officials shall perform as far as their duties. And then if you take a look in just about any other section of code, county officials at some level or another are listed or referenced or required to do jobs directed by the legislature. When the state legislature directs their state agencies to perform such duties, oftentimes those duties get delegated down to the county level. So in essence, whenever the legislature is asking their state agencies to perform a job, there's a trickle-down effect, and the counties end up performing some part of that task. I think the county officials have been referred to as agents of the state, and justly so, because when you're dealing with motor vehicles or you're dealing with the Department of Health and birth and death records or marriage records, or if you're dealing with elections, which this committee just recently did, you are dealing with county officials at some level or another. And so I think the legislature has some basic responsibility for ensuring that those elected officials are taken care of financially. The other aspect that I would like to bring up is that while the legislature is setting minimum salaries, I think that's very important. It's not setting a maximum and it's not setting their exact salaries, but it's setting some type of base level. And when you're dealing with elected officials whose budgets and actual salaries are approved by a local commission, there can be a conflict where you have five members or even three members of a commission that do not agree with who got elected, either because of party or a personal conflict, or they didn't like who actually won the election. And so, in essence, with that new person being elected, the county commission could, in actuality, negate the election by setting a salary so low that that person would not want to hold on to that position. So I think that there is really a necessary responsibility of the legislature to set a minimum salary. Now, just to speak briefly on the amendment that was agreed upon between ourselves and Representative Peterson, we look at this as a friendly amendment. We believe that setting minimum salaries for combined offices could encourage some savings in smaller counties. And once again, this leaves it up to local control whether or not they combine offices within a county. And so we see this as a positive addition to the bill. And I would ask for your support, 1199.
Are there other proponents to House Bill 1199? Proponents.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Chuck Schroyer. I'm a lobbyist for the South Dakota States Attorneys Association. They, of course, are also elected county officials, but I'm not here to ask you to add them into the bill. But I do want to tell you that for a number of years I've been involved in this question, and I've been up here and we've tried to deal with this minimum salary thing for various reasons. And I know that there's a lot of concern, I think, on the part of many of you about whether or not that this is a mandate that you're going to force the counties to pay something that they perhaps wouldn't pay on their own, or obviously in some cases haven't paid on their own. But I do think that it's important that we understand a little bit about the history. Mr. Satgas told you a little bit about the early history of this thing. In the early 1990s, an agreement was reached whereby the legislature took the caps off. In other words, let the county commissioners set these salaries at any amount. But they did provide a floor, and the purpose of that, I think, was for the very reasons that he mentioned, that there had to be some protection there from some use of this particular provision for retaliatory purposes or whatever. But that really provides a safety net, and I think you folks as legislators have a duty to periodically review that and make sure that that safety net is tightened up a little bit so that it takes into effect what's happening with inflation and so forth. I've had many county commissioners tell us over the years when we've been dealing with these salary bills that that they won't raise the salary, that's their position, that they're not going to vote for that because it's not politically popular in their county, and they basically throw that back and say the legislature ought to do that. If they want to raise these bases, they should do it, not us. So I think that's one reason why you do have to look at these lower salaries. The other thing I think we need to stress is that the people we're talking about here are not employees of the county. They are independently elected county officials. They're elected in the same election, on the same place in the ballot as the county commissioners. And so there has to be a check and balance here. You don't want to have one elected official at the county level setting all salary policy for another set of elected officials at the same level. The legislature, I think, therefore, has a duty to periodically review this and increase these. Some folks might say, well, let's just let the legislature or the counties do this. They will eventually do it on their own, do the right thing. 10 years ago, I used to represent the Sheriff's Association, and we had four or five sheriffs at the time that they were very unhappy because of the fact that their counties had no retirement plan. And it used to just kind of really infuriate me that there were counties out there that were elected by the people to provide the best for their employees, and they didn't have retirement plans. And I even introduced a bill several years in a row to mandate that some of these counties be forced into the state retirement system, just as you've done with the municipalities. And so when I saw this bill, I thought, well, I wonder how they've done over the last several years since that's happened. I called over to the retirement board, and I asked them, I said, how many counties now are on board? Are there any that haven't got a retirement system? And I was, again, just shocked that we've still got five counties out there that provide no retirement plan whatsoever for their employees. So these folks can work for 25, 30 years and have no retirement when they leave the county, their county employment. And those are, for the record, Bennett, Buffalo, Jackson, Kingsbury, and Todd. So I think that's just another reason why if some of these folks are out there working without retirement, there ought to be at least some way to make sure that their salary base is increased up to at least some sort of a minimum level of an appropriate standard. So with that, I'd certainly appreciate your support of the bill. And as I say, we're not asking to be included, but we do feel that these folks are deserving, and hopefully the bill will pass.
Thank you. Are there other proponents for 1199? Other proponents. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1199? Opponents? Seeing none, I will close testimony and encourage discussion from the committee and questions.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Albers.
Does this amendment fit where it says in here? It doesn't look like it's the right amendment. Oh.
What we'll probably do is make it section 6 at the end of the bill.
Okay. But then, is there enough here to do what it's supposed to do?
I think what I do is reprint the entire amount of 615.2, which is only six subdivisions, and so you can see the whole thing, but it adds another subdivision.
And when it's done, what does this amendment do?
Section 615.1 does not apply to the set of list of situations. 615.1 says you can't have a state mandate for the
right. Okay.
So this would provide an exception to that.
This amendment would do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Are there further questions? Senator Reedy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought this amendment was not adopted over in the House, but it came from the House?
No, this is a new amendment, I think. Is that not correct? It's just been introduced now.
Okay.
So that we aren't in conflict with the mandates that we're sending to the county.
Correct, Madam Chair. What happened on the House floor was that there were questions raised on the House floor, and Representative Peterson at that time said that it was his intention to ask us to bring an amendment to exclude it from the unfunded mandate law, and then the House passed it out 51-16, and so that's all we were doing was just trying to address the concerns that were taken up at the House on the House side.
So this will go back to them?
Correct. It'll go back for concurrence.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there further questions or discussion on the amendment?
Madam Chair.
Senator Dietrich.
I imagine we have to move that amendment.
We already have moved it and seconded, but those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment did carry. I also have another amendment which changes or to and. And if you don't have the engrossed version, it's on page 3 of line 9. It's a grammatical that I would ask to have put on. Senator Vitter moved. Is there a second? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried. Now to the bill, 1199 as amended.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dietrich.
I move that this bill be sent to the floor with a due pass.
The motion has been made to do pass on 1199. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Reedy. Discussion. Senator Olson.
Do we currently have any counties that are combining any of these elected positions? We do. Views?
Yes,
certainly.
Please.
Who's Mr. Satgast.
Who are they?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Currently, Hughes County has combined the three offices under a county finance officer position. I also would like to state that Fall River, Todd, Shannon, and Tripp counties have what they call a contract, where they contracted with one of the other counties to provide these services. So.
And Hughes County is with Fuseli?
No, Hughes County has combined within their own county.
Within their own county. Okay.
So rather than having an auditor, treasurer, and register of deeds, they have a county finance officer.
I didn't mean to interrupt, Senator Olson.
Quite all right. Thank you very much.
Is there further discussion?
Well, Madam Chairman, if I might.
Go ahead.
I've never been one that's really gotten real excited about this bill because I've voted on it before, but I'm going to support it primarily because I think one of the disadvantages for public office a lot of times is the salary, and I think it's important that potential candidates know at least for budgeting purposes what their salary is going to be. I also have real interest in the concept of a base level salary, and you might hear from me later on that.
Are there other remarks? Well, I think that it is a mandate, and I don't like putting mandates, especially on counties, and I don't think that I know it's in the law that we have to do it, but if the counties want local control, which I think they do, and I know mine does, they're not going to be happy with me when I pass this bill. And I'm not happy with the concept, but I won't elaborate or editorialize any more on that, except that it's just, I don't think it's right that we set the salary for those people, even if they're independently elected. So that's my soapbox. We have a motion on the floor to
do that. Senator. I would just like to respond to that for a minute.
Okay.
I am truly a believer in local government. You know, in the real world, sometimes it's not possible. And it's interesting to me what was presented here this morning, what I feel very strongly about. Look at those red books. Every duty and responsibility of a county elected official is in those books. Every duty or responsibility that an elected official has on the county level is put on them by the legislature. We write their job description. They do what we tell them to do. So I think that we do have a certain responsibility to see to it that they get paid for it. total local control would give county commissioners the authority to tell those officials what their job was. That will never work, and that job description is always going to come out of here, and some responsibility for the payment of that job description has to come out of here as well. Thank you.
I respect your opinion. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, I will ask for the secretary to please call the roll on House Bill 1199.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
Senator Dietrich?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Senator Reedy?
Aye.
Senator Bitter?
Aye.
Senator Hamm?
Aye. Motion carried. Our friend over here on the left doesn't like consent. Is there further business to be brought before the local government committee today? Seeing none, I would encourage you, if you have any ideas on summer studies, I'd appreciate your getting it to me. And I don't know when the next meeting will be, so until you hear from me.
Madam Chairman, if I could, you know, I have made a request for a summer study on my Senate Bill 200, which is Severn Mineral, and just it really has a lot of local government flavor. Senate Tax heard it, and it's something that really needs discussion. But just so the committee's aware of it, it's about severed mineral interests. You'll love it.
Okay. Thank you. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Second? All those in favor signify by saying aye. The meeting is adjourned.